Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
We will get into the story that's been lighting up the airwaves here this afternoon. You're really that mad if some politician that you know hates the mayor says F the mayor? I think the whole thing's a bunch of pearl-clutching nonsense to me, but we'll get into that in just a minute. Welcome to Drive Time with Tarusha. It's Jason. I am back after really one of the biggest transitional weekends of my life. And I know it's a situation many of you have either gone through. Some of you, as parents with younger children, are horrified to even think that this moment may be coming for you. Taking my youngest child off to Los Angeles, off to the University of Southern California, dropping him off a little after noon on Saturday, and not seeing him again for the rest of the weekend. It's one of those parenting moments where when you go off to drop off the kid, and some of you have been doing this weekend, maybe at Iowa State, you've got the University of Minnesota. Those move-ins are next week for new freshmen. I don't know, as a dad and my wife, we have this idea that we're going to drop off Sam, but we're going to stick around. So we drop him off on Saturday. We're like, we're not going to leave until Monday because what if he needs something? Narrator, he did not need anything. It is sort of what you want as a parent. You want your kid to be independent. You want your kid to go off and do their thing. And you kind of want to be needed a little bit. Like, couldn't he have thrown us a bone and been like, you know what? I forgot paper towels. I don't know, just something like send me to the store to run some errand for him to say goodbye one more time. When you take a kid to college, you know that this is not goodbye forever. This is not Sam's moving to LA. We're never going to see him again. 2 years ago, we took Seth off to New York City. And I think that was harder. The youngest child going off to college was sort of this point where you say, oh, like we're doing that now. We're in that phase of parenting. And Seth going off to NYU in New York has been amazing. It's been amazing. He's been great. He's kept in touch with us. But so many things, and Alyssa and I were talking about all the things that change. You go from having an almost nightly check-in with your teenager to, if you're lucky, a weekly check-in. You go from sort of being able to have conversations and drive the relationship to all of it on their terms. Now, it's not quite the same as post-graduation when somebody moves away and takes their job. At least I assume that. I don't know. Can my heart handle that transition again? I think so. What made this easier is that we had Seth with us. And don't tell Seth how helpful that was. Because after driving, yeah, Dan's immediately texting Seth. Seth doesn't go off to NYU until one week. So he flew out to LA to be with us. And so when we left Sam, it was a family. All of us were together. And Seth was still there. And so we hung out with Seth. And we hung out with Jamie Yukis and her husband and her stepson. And then we hung out with my friend Tom. And we had this weekend where it just felt like, oh, it sort of still feels like Sam is just like on a summer trip with his buddies. When Seth's gone next week, I think reality will set in. When you're a parent, you want your kid to fly. You want to release your child into the world. And it's easier when I'm not talking about it. I mean, now that I talk about it, I feel the fact that in my house, in 1 week, it's going to be real quiet. One room that is always a mess is going to be empty. No one will be upstairs laughing loudly as they're playing a video game with a friend. And no one will be ripping on the other brother as we play pit or catchphrase or any of those things. Like any part of life, those transitions also come with opportunity, right? Like I think Alyssa and I already, we have a list of cities we want to visit in Minnesota and around the country. We today booked our flight to Chicago next month. So in a couple weeks, we're going to Chicago on a Wednesday, which is something that was sort of difficult to do when you're, you know, you have one kid playing sports. I mean, frankly, we have one kid who had a girlfriend. So did we want to leave for a couple of days? We did not. So we have that freedom now. We have that freedom now. It's emotional. It's emotional. It is a transition. As a parent, even somebody who, like Alyssa and I, have always had a very independent relationship, independent from our kids. So we existed as mom and dad, but we also existed as a couple. And I think that positions us well for this next phase. But also, who knows? You know so many couples that struggle because they don't quite know, what do we do? What do we do next? All I know is, like, we try to prepare our kids to be adults, but I don't know that we prepare ourselves for what that all entails. I will say a week in LA or a weekend in LA, if Sam doesn't have to spend time in traffic, I don't know if we're ever going to get him back. I think the traffic is what helps us get Minnesota kids to come back, because nobody wants to sit in that all the time. But it's a proud experience, and it's a little sad. It's a little sad too. So I know a lot of you guys have gone through this.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, Dan, you got to help me out. Dan tells me there are a lot of texts coming in. I'm not in our system yet.
Oh, okay. So one texter says, Jason, I dropped off three, one at a military academy. A lot changing and sobering. The parenting challenge takes on a new twist. Parents need to up their game.
Oh, interesting. Life because changing. The questions are maybe, the high school kid questions are not as impactful, perhaps.
Sure.
Interesting. Yeah, you're as a parent, you're less involved in the day-to-day.
Mm-hmm.
But the stuff they come to you with is the big stuff.
It's bigger life stuff, for sure.
Interesting.
Another texter says,
does that make me feel better or worse? I don't know.
Well,
it's a little more pressure.
It's a challenge.
Yeah.
You presented with a challenge.
Yeah, that's good.
320 texter says, you're very fortunate. A lot of parents can't get their kids to move out because of financially.
Yeah.
Because of other reasons. And they live with their parents into their 30s.
Well, we don't know where this is going, right?
Yet.
I got a college junior and a freshman.
You know, they're on a good trajectory at this point,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's another texter says, my husband sobbed for 90 minutes after dropping off our daughter. She was fine. Although did get the normal homesick, made us feel better.
Huh, yeah. Yeah, so here was the real dagger, right? So on Sunday, I text Sam and say, how was night number one? and the response, it was good. And that's it. And you're like,
yep.
Oh.
Buckle up.
Oh.
Buckle up.
Oh, man.
Another 320 texter says, Jason, as the parent of an only child starting his senior year and looking at colleges this summer, I know I'm not ready for what you're describing. Mm. Eek.
Yeah. It's, I mean, if you can have a friend or somebody with you, it certainly takes the sting off a little bit. When we dropped Seth off, it was more dramatic. Like, Seth walked off through Washington Square Park into the hustle and bustle that is New York City, never looking back. And we're watching like this closing scene out of a movie.
Yep.
Sam, we moved him in. Then we went to lunch. It was like a little less dramatic, at least.
The first time I came home from going to college, and it was for a holiday or something like that, you know, did the holiday, and then I'm getting back on the bus to go back to school, and I'm excited to get back to school, right? Because it's the newness and the, individuality and, freedom that you have as a college kid. And I get a phone call from my father after I get back to the dorm, and he says, you got to do me a favor. So what's that? He goes, next time you leave, make sure to get all weepy around your mother because she was destroyed that you were so excited to leave. Ooh.
I don't know. It's all pretty good. Judy says it is a bit of an adjustment time, but good for you for letting them go explore the world. They will be fine.
Another texter says, totally understand it's hard to have our kids leave. Mine went into the military and is stationed at Fort Eustis, Virginia, but I'm so proud.
Wow. Cool.
507 texter says, never listen to She Is Leaving by the Beatles when driving home from dropping off a dollar.
Oh, gosh, that's so good. It is. These are the moments, yeah. Right? Like it is the good stuff. Like, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the young men that both of these kids have become. As a parent, somebody was congratulating me today on getting both kids to great universities. And I said that I really don't care about they got into a good school. I don't care about that. I've never worried about their academics. I've never worried about, are they going to get a job? Are they going to excel? I've never worried about that. I have worried about, are they going to be good men? Will they be kind? Will they be empathetic? Will they be curious and inquisitive and thoughtful? And that's sort of the stuff where you're like, you do your best as a parent, but you don't know. Who are their friends? What's the, all of this stuff kind of weighs into it. So that, like, to me, that's the stuff you worry about. And that's why you want to know what went on the first night when you're off at college. Oh, so good. Thank you all for all the texts. Very helpful. Sometimes we just have like a little therapy sesh. Like, I just tell you how I'm feeling. And I was feeling and am feeling still today. 322, we'll break. Talk about feelings. All the feels are coming out about a city council member who said out loud what you already knew she thought. Are you outraged? Are you mad at a city council member saying F Jacob Fry? We'll talk about that when we come back. All right, let's hear it. Let's play it. Because much is being made over a well-known Jacob Fry hater on the city council who posted on her own Instagram page this video clip of her at a rally for Omar Fateh. And here is what Aisha Chugtai said.
I'm running for the city council again, and today I want to talk to you about my friend, my brother, Omar Fateh, the next door on Mamdani right here in Minneapolis. We're going to transform the city because Jacob Fry, fascism, Trump.
All right, so that is Aisha Chugtai. And she, not a big Jacob Fry fan, clearly. Does this bother you? Does this bother you? Or are you like me? Because I'm not bothered by it. I'm not. There is nothing that that interaction taught me differently or is new information about how the DSA wing of the city council, the younger city council members, Aisha Chugtai is the youngest member of the city council. This is how they feel about the mayor. Make your decisions accordingly. But the fact that she said F Jacob Fry to me is a big nothing. So what? Over the last year, we've seen a coarsening of the language from our elected official. And you see it like Senator Tina Smith calling Elon Musk an a-hole. I think the current president is a master of profanity and coarse language. 651-461-9226. I don't care. What Aisha Chugtai did is she said out loud the way that she has been talking about Jacob Fry for months. Now, when she says, I guess I'd love to have her on the show to ask, when you say F Jacob Fry, F Donald Trump, and F fascism, are you saying that you think Jacob Fry is a Donald Trump, or do you think Jacob Fry is a fascist? Like linking those three, if that's what she said, you know, come on. I do think the DSA, the socialist wing of the city council trying to portray Jacob Fry as some sort of right-wing Trump MAGA guy, is hilarious and ridiculous and laughable. 651-461-9226. But the language, I don't care. It's disappointing but not surprising. The Minneapolis City Council is the worst. Glad to know how she handles herself, says another. It is a tell. Another texter, you don't live in Minneapolis. Stay out of our business. I guess to you, I would say, screw you. Screw that. I hate that attitude so much. It's classic Minneapolis, by the way. Classic Minneapolis. I miss the decorum and respect politicians used to have. I miss that, too, but that ship has sailed. Look at how everyone talks. Is this really upsetting, or is this just a performative show to be like, look how awful this person is? That's all it is. It's fine with you. You're all for decorum, except when Trump goes nuts, then it's like, well, you know, I mean, that's just, you know, plain talk Donald Trump. Bucking the system. No one cares about any of this. No one cares about any of this. It's all just a show, as far as I'm concerned. We're going to break. We'll revisit this at 5:30. So if you have thoughts, text them in. And you can always send your feedback, because plenty of you think I'm absolutely nuts. So let's hear it. If you use the Odyssey app, go to the WCCO radio page where you listen live. And next to the Listen Live button, there's a microphone. You click that. Send a voice message right to the studio. Are you bothered by a city council member saying F Jacob Fry? When we come back, I am bothered by really a startling story. Kelly Clarkson's ex-husband died at a very young age because of melanoma. I want to talk about skin cancer, melanoma risk in young people, what we should know. We'll do that when we come back.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, to me, it was a shocker and a wake-up call. A successful talent manager and producer, the ex-husband of Kelly Clarkson, the singer, the talk show host, Brandon Blackstock, died at just age 48, only 48, and it was melanoma. He died after a three-year battle with cancer, is what his family said. And I wanted to get a little insight on this from my friend, Dr. Mohiba Tureen from Tureen Dermatology, who's with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Dr. Tureen, I know, you know, we talk about melanoma, we talk about the risk here in Minnesota, but this is just so young, and I've been hearing, I feel like I've been hearing more of these cases of people in their 30s or 40s being diagnosed with melanoma. It just escalates, it can escalate so quickly.
Absolutely. Melanoma is no joke, Jason. And as you saw, Teddy Mellencamp, the daughter of John Mellencamp, is also battling stage 4 melanoma, unfortunately. Jerry Jones just came out that he was diagnosed more than 10 years ago and is surviving and is thriving with stage 4 melanoma. So you're right. It affects the whole gamut of ages.
What should we know about this other than we tend to think about skin cancer and especially melanoma as being something that does hit older people, but that's just not true.
No, it's unfortunately not true. There are more teenagers getting diagnosed with melanoma. It's a small subset, but children under the age of 12, there are melanoma in that group. We don't know if it's due to the environment, the ozone layer, all the chemicals in our foods, but there is a substantial increase in the risk of melanoma amongst all age groups. And as I've discussed with you before, unfortunately, Minnesota is top 5 for melanoma in the country because of our, you know, very Caucasian background heritage.
Yeah. We're very white. It is that Norwegian, German sort of European skin for sure. But we also think, and you know, like Mohiba, when you're in your like late 40s to mid 50s, it's sort of that zone that we were all going to the tanning beds and all of that sort of stuff too, right? Is some of that behavior coming home to roost, or what do we think?
Excellent point, Jason. Yes, I mean, you and I, at our middle age, everyone used to go to the tanning booths before prom and before everything. Some of my patients tell me that they used to have unlimited tanning cards. Can you believe that? And we've really done a good job of legislating that. Now, no one under the age of 18. I mean, it's great for our kids, but I'm seeing that in our age group. But it doesn't explain the increase in all these different ages. So there is something else going on. But luckily, there are really good treatments now. You know, Jerry Jones is in total remission.
How about that? 10 years or so, he said he was diagnosed, right? He just shared that last week for the first time, I think.
10 years. He had metastases. That means, you know, spread to the lung and the liver. And he had 4 surgeries on those, and those were removed. And he's on a class of awesome drugs called PD-1 inhibitors. And those actually aren't chemotherapy, which is great because chemotherapy just kills cells. He's on something called immunotherapy, which, if your audience hasn't heard about it, it is a game changer in cancer treatment because it actually primes your own immune system to mount a response against the cancer. So it's a much more powerful, robust response. But unfortunately, people like Brandon Blackstock did not respond to those. Not all people respond to immunotherapy.
And we're visiting with Dr. Mohiba Tureen from Tureen Dermatology, talking about melanoma. Young people, the increase in diagnosis. And we know there's a lot of research going on to try to crack sort of what is leading to this increase that we're seeing in young people. One of our listeners who's watching on YouTube is asking if like suntan lotion, obviously we know that sunscreen is a great way to try to protect yourself from the damage that can be caused by UV rays. But does suntan lotion make it worse, the people who are trying to tan out in the sun?
Yes, your listener or viewer, I should say, because it's YouTube, is very smart because they've actually done some studies. When people use like a low SPF suntan lotion, like SPF 4, SPF 5 or something like that, it actually gives them this fallacy that they're protected because they've got a little SPF and they stay out longer and they get burned more and they actually have a higher incidence of skin cancer because they are in this fallacy that they're slightly protected. So yes, do not use suntan lotion, use sunscreen and even better physical light clothing, hats, etc.
You know, we've talked about before the fact that insurance doesn't always cover the full body skin checkup. There's sort of no standard the same way there is with like a colonoscopy for a check. I wish there was something so people could get more, you know, feel fully comfortable. Either way, it's not like it's an unaffordable thing, especially compared to the cost of fighting skin cancer. But talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you're so astute. So there was a study done a few years ago that getting a skin biopsy can cost anywhere between $200 to very high range, about $1,000. But treating one melanoma costs $1 million a year.
Whoa, no way.
So, think about that differential. And I mean, not to get on my soapbox about politics, but in Illinois, one full body skin exam is mandated by the state. Insurers must pay for that as a preventative thing, much like a colonoscopy or a mammogram.
Right.
But that is a state dependent thing. So if all of your listeners say, hey, we don't want to get melanoma and pay $1 million a year for treatment, we want to just get our full bodies covered, we as dermatologists would welcome that. We want our patients to be covered. Who doesn't want their patients to be covered?
Another texter saying, I'm in my 60s. Would sun exposure now actually affect me in my lifetime? That's sort of interesting. It's this idea that like, well, I've made it this far. What's the reality on that?
So it's multifactorial, right? As we age, our skin cell, all of our cells don't turn over as quickly, right? Like when you're a kid, you get a little scrape, it's healed in 2 days. If you're older, you can get a scrape and you can die from an infection because it's not, the cells aren't turning over. So what happens as we age and we keep getting that sun exposure, we're not repairing our skin cells. So that increases your risk for skin cancer substantially because again, your DNA is not turning over as much. So 80% of our sun damage is before the age of 18 for all of us who are in our 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. But that doesn't mean that you should just throw up your hands and stop wearing your sun protection.
Sunscreen is the obvious physical barrier, like a hat is the other way. With sunscreen, you know, I wear it every day on my face. What do you, is there an SPF number that everybody wants a magic number? What's the number? Does it really matter?
Again, it does matter. And I always want to present to you and your listeners what is reputable and what's studied. And the studies from the American Academy of Dermatology have shown daily SPF 30 is sufficient and blocks more than 96% of the sun's rays. I don't wear it all over. I only use it on, it's like today I'm wearing a dress that just comes up to my wrist. So I'm using it on my hands and my face and my legs. But you don't have to use it under your clothes. Like, again, we want to minimize these chemicals. Just be smart about it.
Makes sense. State Fair coming this weekend. A lot of people are going to be outside all day. Is that a reapply situation, you think? Or how long does it last?
That's a reapply every 2 hours.
Every 2 hours? That often?
I don't mean to be the bear.
Come on.
That's get a good one that you like. And a lot of my patients like the powder. So you don't have to put the cream on again at 2 hours. Some people will put a little powder on. Some people will, you know, do spray, but make sure you put enough density of spray on. And again, I know I'm beating a dead horse drive, but just wear your SPF, the UPF clothing. That's so much easier.
Yeah, that stuff is really cool. All right. Very good. Good information. Texters are asking you to open a clinic in the West Metro. I mean, that would be helpful for me, too. I drive to Roseville from Maple Grove. It's worth it. But you know, you guys are growing. It's good. It's good stuff.
We're honored to have you. You're always the best, Jason. Thank you.
Very good information, especially as we go to spend a lot of time outdoors over the next 12 days or so. Dr. Mohiba Tareen from Tareen Dermatology. Thanks, Mohiba. See you soon.
Thank you.
All right. 3:48. Let's break. A rebrand. I love a good rebrand. Dan loves a rebrand. The rebrand that has everyone saying, We'll talk about that in just a minute. All right, like coming up with names for stuff is hard, right? Like it's not easy. I get it. I get the challenge. MSNBC, which is the talk channel that was a joint project. Remember when this started? When it was Microsoft? It was like, the new world. Microsoft, it's the computers and the journalists coming together. It's going to be so amazing. MSNBC is being spun off from the NBC side. This is sort of boring media stuff. There's a lot of boring media stuff in the news today. But, like, I bet we could open the text line and say, okay, MSNBC has to get rid of the NBC. That's part of the bit. What would you call it? I feel we could come up with better answers than MS Now. MS Now, which they came up with some sort of idiotic, like MS stands for My Source, Now stands for News Opinion World. If you're doing that much explaining, you've already failed. It's already, it's just so stupid. And when I read this, I read it as Ms. Now. It's Ms. Now. I mean, if they were really going to go in on the MSNBC branding, it should have been Mix Now, right? If you're going to be truly the woke network, the left wing network. Another friend was telling me it looks like it's a multiple sclerosis now, like some sort of like it's a nonprofit, like some sort of action fundraising thing. MS Now. I don't know, like, what are we doing? What are they doing? Is this stuff, I know it's hard, but is it that? Is it that hard, Dan?
Well, and the worst part is they probably paid somebody a whole lot of money to come up with the whole concept, right? This has got consultant written all over it.
Another texter said, I'm rebranding to the journalist formerly known as DeRussia.
Yeah.
Or maybe the DeRussia formerly known as a journalist. Maybe that's... I could use a rebrand. I just got a brand. I don't know that I... Rebrand's the biggest boondoggle ever.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.